Well, it's good to be with you once again this morning. Thank you so very much for your time that you enjoy with us in biblical study. Thank you for your calls and comments regarding this broadcast and encouragements regarding this broadcast. And we trust that today you'll be benefited by it even that much more. As you study these particular verses within their context, you'll find a blessing from God because this is God's word that we're speaking about even today. I work with the Crockett Church of Christ, located 7 miles from Interstate 55 on Highway 4 West toward the Tunica side of the state. Invite you to our services at 9:30, 10:30, and again on Sunday evening at 6 p.m. And again Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come and be a part of services with us, and we trust that you will. We're a congregation that works to help others and seeks to teach others by way of the radio broadcast that we sponsor by way of this radio station and others. Thank you for your time today. This is Robert Rawson speaking. As we talk about these things that we've talked about, we're not talking about our personal views and personal ideals. Someone may be saying to others, that's his personal thought about it, that's his personal idea about it, but no. I'm not offering that to be believed by you. I'm offering that which the Lord indisputably said had to be done by you and by me and by everybody in the world in which we live. In Acts 4 and in verse 12, it is written there by Luke, salvation is in none other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He notes that the salvation is only in Christ and that we are to be people who respond to the way of Christ Jesus. Jesus said that in John 12 at verses 48 and 49, he that rejecteth me, he said, and receiveth not my word, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For the word I speak unto you is not my own, but my Father who gave me these commandments to speak unto you, and thus I speak. Jesus was saying the words of the Heavenly Father that he wanted him to say, and thus Jesus was finally saying to you and me, I'll judge you in the last day according to that word that I have already revealed. When we talk about the word that Christ has revealed for us, we're talking about a way that he talked about to the disciples and told them in John 16 at verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Notice that Jesus said he was going back to the Father. He would send the Holy Spirit to represent the cause and teach the disciples all the things that I have told unto you. And thus they were reminded of the things that Jesus had taught as they went forth to preach on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, as Paul taught regarding the matter to others after he was converted, not on the road to Damascus. On the road to Damascus he was told, go into the city, and there you'll be told what you must do. You'll notice that in Acts chapter 9. He was a man who was humbled on that road, stopped on that road, but he was not a saved man when he left that road. Some people teach that he was saved on that road to Damascus. He was saved because of the circumstances with which he was stopped. But that's not the case at all. He was told, go into the city, and there be told what you must do. There be told is in the city, not here upon this road. And thus Paul went forth to teach the message of the Lord to others. He proclaimed that message, and in Romans chapter 6, he said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into the death of Christ were raised to walk in newness of life? When did that new life begin? It began when they obeyed the Lord, when they were baptized into the death of Christ. He goes on to say in Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, that God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin. Being when? Being then made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. You'll notice it was not until they obeyed that form of doctrine delivered to them that they were made free from sin and became the servants of doing what was right. The servants of righteousness. When you and I practice that which is right, 2 Peter 2 and verse 18 tells us that we practice the things of the Lord. But if we do not practice those things that are righteous and good, we find ourselves deceiving ourselves. We find ourselves not following the way of God. We find ourselves in still a lost condition. Let's think about what we do and think about what Paul wrote and what Peter wrote regarding this matter, and you'll find salvation in Christ, of which Acts 4 verse 12 says, there is salvation in none other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is the case that Jesus came to offer salvation for you and me and bore in his own body our sins upon the cross of Calvary. The sadness of Jesus' death is because of you and me, because of our conduct, because of our misconduct, because of our sinful ways of life. He took in his own body our sins. And because of that, he went to the cross. And as he died upon the cross, he was aware of the Heavenly Father's great promise to him. In Matthew chapter 16, he promises to build his church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I know your English Bibles tell you the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But the word hell there is from the word Hades in reference to the place of the dead. And Jesus was speaking about his death was not going to stop the church from being built. His death was not going to cease the work of the church of the Lord. And thus he says regarding this matter, he says, this is the way of life for you to follow. And then he goes on to say following in that regard the following words. I'm going to have to leave you. I'm going to leave you and I'll go away from you. I'll go into Jerusalem and there I'll be persecuted of the chief priests and scribes and elders of the church and put to death. And on the third day I will rise from the dead. Jesus promised his disciples there in Matthew 16, verses 18 and following, I will rise from the dead on the third day. There were those who were listening to him on that day. The disciples, sad to say, did not catch all the significance of what he was saying. And thus they were people who were finding themselves denying that he should go through this death sentence and this kind of time of being away from them. And Simon Peter was saying that in Matthew chapter 16 and verses 19 and following. Lord, this will not happen to you. You will not die this way. You will not be away from us because of this. And Jesus turned to him and he remarkably said to him the following. Get thee behind me, Satan, for the words you speak are not the words of the Heavenly Father, but the words of man. And when you speak these words, you're speaking of men. And you're speaking of the men's conduct against me. But that's not the way it's going to be. The Heavenly Father said, I will be put to death. And that's the way it's going to happen. But he also said, in the third day, I will rise. And thus he said that to them. They didn't catch it all. They didn't understand it all. But there were others who were around there, because later, when Jesus was crucified, in Matthew 27, it is noted by those who came up to Pilate, this deceiver saith, that on the third day I will rise from the dead. Now, lest his disciples come and steal his body away. They didn't even know enough to know how to come and take his body away. But nevertheless, according to the text there, they said to Pilate, they'll come and steal his body away, and then they'll say that he is risen from the dead. Make a watch. And Pilate was about exasperated with them by that time. And Pilate said, you go your way and you make a watch as sure as you can. And that's exactly what they did. And as they did that watch, they found themselves telling the men after they found that the tomb was empty, the stone was rolled back, and the hope of the ages was raised from the dead. And he was not in that tomb. His clothes, his grave clothes, were there in the tomb. They were fixed up and set aside. But it is a case that now these men were being taught by those who were of the chief priests and elders and scribes, say that his disciples came during the night and they stole his body away. And they'll go forth and teach that he's risen from the dead, but that did not really happen. And thus they told them to say that, gave them money that they would say that. And these men, as unscrupulous as they were, they agreed. And they said that when asked about it. But that was not the case. They could not withhold. They were as dead men when the angel of the Lord came and rolled that stone away and raised up Jesus from the grave. It was the case that he was alive on this third day as he said. And he went before them into Galilee so that he'll meet them there. And when the disciples arrived there, they saw him and they recognized that he was alive. And they really didn't have enough faith in it at that time. They questioned about that. And Thomas was one who wasn't there at that particular moment in time. And he said, I won't believe unless I see it with my own eyes. I will not believe it. And thus he was sure that he was of the way that he understood that was right and good and helpful, and to tell them that they didn't really have it happen. But it did happen, and it was there. And Jesus was meeting the disciples there in Galilee and telling them, on this third day, as I told you, I would rise. And this is the case of the Heavenly Father in my life. And thus, that's exactly what took place. When you and I find ourselves following the words of Jesus Christ, we are part of the great resurrection story. And notice there in Romans 6, when Paul says, when we were baptized into the death of Christ, where we were raised to walk in newness of life. There's a resurrection taking place for you and me. From that watery grave, we come forth to be new people, new mannerisms, new thoughts, new plans, new ideals, a great new love for the Lord that we have in that way. We find a way to do that because he taught us to do that. And as Paul writes to the brethren there at Rome in this regard, in Romans chapter 6 and following, he goes in those verses to say to you and me, when we were baptized into his death, we were raised to walk a new way of life. That's the way that we will raise to walk to a newness of life. And a new way of life we offer to you at the Crockett Congregation and other congregations of Churches of Christ throughout the area. They tell you the truth and they tell you the matterism of how you will be a new person as you walk forward in life. You can walk in newness of life. That's the teaching of the Lord. And that's the way that he wants us to follow. And as we follow that way, we'll find the joy that we have in Christ. Notice that as Jesus taught us, he taught us there was a way to live, a way to talk, a way to act, a way to worship, a way to behave. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, Jesus taught about a way of worship, a way to which we worship God in spirit and in truth. We find ourselves worshiping the Lord, bowing before him, praising him for the gift of his Son, praising him for the hope of salvation, praising him for the forgiveness of our sins. We find a wonderful way of life by which we can live from day to day. And in worship of God, we bow before him and we say that to him. We people who mean it and we're serious about it. And as he was serious about forgiving us, we're serious about following him. Many of you called and note that you read the scripture and you read it now in context with which I note to you what it says. And as a result, there's a difference in the way that you feel about the preaching that you hear and the teaching that you hear and the guidance that you're given in the religious systems of mankind. Why not follow the way of the Lord and be in Him, and as a result be new in His service? That's a wonderful way to live and to be and to do. We thank you for your time and your study of these particular matters. And as you answer these particular questions and notice these particular contexts of teaching, you'll find a context in which you can be a practitioner of what the Lord has said and what the Lord did. In writing in 1 Peter chapter 3 and at verse 21, he speaks to us about the baptism by which we live and that new hope that we have in Christ because we are made new in His service. We find ourselves enjoying that relationship with Him. We find ourselves enjoying that relationship not because of what we've done, not because of what we did as a righteous way. As Paul will write regarding this matter to himself in this regard, he will say in regard to this matter, "This is not the way that salvation came, by doing my own will, but the will of Him that called me and the will of Him that taught me." And he was taught by the Lord. And as the Lord taught him, he recognized a way of life for him to follow, a way of life for him to teach others, a way of life for him to practice from day to day. Are you practicing that way of life that Paul practiced? Are you going that way of life that he taught about? Read it in detail in this regard. And read the same in detail in regard to the words of Simon Peter who taught about it. It is a case that in 1 Peter chapter 3, references made to the way of salvation in Christ and how that we're baptized into that relationship with Him and a new way of life has begun. That's the new way of life that he taught about and the new way of life that you and I should follow. And that we in Churches of Christ found ourselves never being taught before, never being given the ideas before, never even being cited before. But when they were cited in a way in which they didn't mean what they actually say. And they didn't signify what we were actually to do. But as we read for ourselves, we found that this was a way of life that we could not avoid and be new in life. Be forgiven of the Lord, have a great hope of the soul. And as a result, we found ourselves looking forward to a time when we could obey the Lord. And we found a people who would invite us to come in and study the Bible the same way that they had found in their study of the Bible. We found a people who would encourage us to follow the way of the Lord. And as a result, Churches of Christ were filled with people far and wide. For people who were reasoning the way of the Lord and the way of the teaching of the Lord and following the practice of that way of the Lord. That's the way of life that He told us that we ought to follow. Are you following that way today? Are you significantly making a change in your spirit about this message and this teaching of the Lord? And you read for yourself in God's Word what He says about what we're to do and how we're to be in life? Or is it the case that we find ourselves not responding to it, not really reading it all, certainly not considering the context of what's said there, and as a result, we want to still be saved by a faith-only system, by a prayer-only system, by a system that we're taught by others we ought to follow and be a part of their church and their way instead of the Lord's church and the Lord's way? We find ourselves regretting that day ever occurred. We find ourselves rejecting that way because it was never right. Let's follow the way of the Lord. Let's be Christians and follow His righteous way and righteous cause. Many of you have noted to me regarding your enjoyment of the songs that are sung. And several of you have noted that you've not heard these particular hymns before. And as a result, we play them again because they are a part of the whole system of teaching that we have been given. And so enjoy the hymns that now present to you the message in song. This is Robert Rawson speaking for the Crockett Church of Christ, located at 7478 Highway 4 West in Senatobia, Mississippi. Thank you for being with us today.